Welcome back to Fit Mind, Fit Body. This is Michelle, and today we're at the finish line of the Gone Nuts 101 Adventure Race. It's been a wild ride, and our runners have truly embodied the spirit of an endurance event, and they've shared all of that with us on their journey to the start line. We've cheered, we've gasped, and we've been inspired by every step of the way that they've shared with us. Now, let's chat with our runners one last time and hear their stories of triumph and challenge from the event day. Today on Fit Mind, Fit Body, we are checking in with another of our very brave athletes who has completed Gone Nuts 2024. Bronte Smith, come on down.
Yay, I did it.
Exciting. Okay, I've already talked to Gary. Now, you're my second person to give me a little bit of a wrap-up of how the day went for you. When I started running years ago, I can remember thinking every time we finished a race that even though we'd all done the same race, we all have different stories about what happened
so
in that
much.
Race.
I can guarantee that. Yeah.
If you put it across 100 kilometers, the stories are even further diverse and,
yeah,
you know, it's amazing. So tell me, how did your day unfold? We want to hear all the gory details.
Oh, unfold. Well, unfolded really nicely. The run up the nut was steeper than I remembered, but
you ran?
Got it done. It was a stomp. The calf burner was great. And it definitely was an experience with all the mutton birds running out onto the path. It was jumped a few times right up in the air because it almost like they were attacking you, except I'm guessing they were just confused with the lights. So
I think they were.
That was something very, very different. But the first 25Ks were not half bad. I found the scenery a little bit boring, in especially the first half compared to, because I've done the 50 before, so the scenery on Rocky Cape and even along the farmlands when it's not in dark is stunning. Certainly wasn't as over-impressed with the scenery, but the first 25, 27Ks were a really nice run because I managed to run the majority of it. So I did get a 25-kilometre PB, which was
awesome.
Exciting. Yeah, and I didn't feel like I pushed myself crazy hard or anything, yeah. which is good. It was running with the long game in mind. Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, after Morbana, I knew about the gravel hills because I'd been pre-warned, but I had no idea where they were.
Yep.
And those mother flipping hills.
Oh, my gosh, were they not steep? They were so steep.
I sent a photo through to Erina, who was my support crew, and I said, whoever designed this course was a sadist, because especially when I saw that second hill, I was like, no, this is just wrong. And then when we were at the top and realised that we had to come down that gravel hill, I ended up measuring it. It was 60 metres elevation over 300 metres distance.
Mm-hmm.
And that was on the first hill. And then we had to come all down that. And, like, on the highlights reel, we saw somebody trip over. Don't know how you came back. I was going slow and I ended up on my butt a couple of times just to get over those rocks.
There was at least three of those.
There was the two giant ones, but there was the one leading up to the giant ones and there was a couple of small ones after them and then coming down. And, yeah.
Actually, that was my favourite bit. Because I'm quite strong on hills. Like I feel them just like everyone else, but I just have this push through mentality and quite enjoy getting to the top. And I tend to not have that much fear coming down that much. I still went, you know, I wasn't too silly, but I think that's probably where my undoing was, because I went up reasonably strong and came down reasonably fast. Thank you. And I didn't fall over at all. I didn't have to go on my butt or anything. Anyway, continue. You had this wonderful journey on their little gravel hills.
that was a whole lot of fun. And then my parents were actually waiting for me at the bottom of those hills, which was really nice to see them. So they plodded along for a little bit with me.
That's nice.
Which was really nice. So I had a rather large amount of people tracking me online. I shared the Track Me Live link.
I started calling them stalkers messages. In my head. Sorry.
Yeah, pretty much. I was getting messages throughout the day, which I didn't take my phone out to read, but occasionally when I'd pull out my phone to take a photo or check the map or anything, I'd like see a couple of lines or see, yeah. Oh, so-and-so messaged or so-and-so sent an Instagram or something, which was really lovely. But then I also had, so mum and dad were stalking me, literally stalking me throughout the day, and I, of course, had Erina following exactly where I was. And then when I got to Rocky Cape, the 50K mark, I had some other friends who said they would, but it was a really nice surprise. A couple of friends who came out, and so they came on the public track for about 7Ks with me,
wow.
Just to start out the second half, which was really nice.
Oh.
Like, because I, the majority of the race, I don't know about you, but majority of the race was completely alone. Like, I bunny hopped or leapfrogged with a few people, but never actually really ran alongside anybody.
I jumped in the boat and there was already two people in there, and then we waited for another person coming down the hill, and the other person was Joe from the podcast. So
that's
I got to do the boat trip with Joe, and then Joe and our other three companions in the boat, we hung out for about, well, maybe 5, 6, 7K, like through some of the paddocky stuff and then up into more forestry stuff, and then we spread out again. But yeah, the second half for me, I saw one runner in the second. So the second 50K, one runner is all I saw. So yes, I totally understand that. But I did get a little bit of running with people in the beginning.
Like there was a few people that I bunny hopped with, but it wasn't really run alongside and chat. It was more like, you guys going okay? Yep, I'm going okay. Yep, cool. Enjoy. Which is still really cool, because even briefly passing people, we're still there encouraging and checking in on each other and stuff. Yeah.
That's what trail running's about.
Really cool. Yeah.
Mm. I agree.
So, yeah, a good first 50Ks, which is nice, and then getting into the hard stuff with the technical stuff with Rocky Cape was pretty, but it's a slog. That hill to get up into Rocky Cape before you come down to Anniversary Bay, it's tough going.
Just keeps going up, doesn't it?
And you think, oh yeah, we're nearly there. It's just like, oh no, yeah, we've reached that spot. We've got a little down, and look, oh, there's more up that we're going up. This is amazing.
The weird thing for me is I thought when we were coming down, we'd be coming down into Sisters Beach, because I obviously didn't look at the map properly. And I was no, we're like a whole other beach away from Sisters Beach.
What? Yeah, no, I knew where we were, and because I grew up, we used to have a family shack around Sisters Beach, so we actually walked those tracks quite a lot and went down into Anniversary Bay quite a lot as family, so know that area, and it had done the 50K course, so I knew we were going down to the beach, and I knew we had the uphill to get onto the top before we dropped down into Sisters. But yeah, it was actually around about that point where I started to have a bit of a flare up of pain from, I think I mentioned it in one of the other podcasts, where I hit my shin on a rock when I was on a hike.
Yeah.
And it seemed like that was starting to flare up. And that was my main cause of injury. Main cause of pain that ended up having me walking the majority of the second half.
Was that hurting you just on like all the time when your foot landed, or was it like up, downs, or?
Most just no downhills. Flat. Yeah. It was mostly just downhills. Thankfully, it actually felt better going uphills than even on the flat. It was still niggling on the flat, but downhill is definitely pain slowed me up so much.
That's
just coming through.
It was just downhills.
Yeah.
Really hurt.
That really hurt. And and I was getting like secondary pain in all the other joints, because I'm guessing I was just compensating from that pain. And so everything just, it ended up just being, oh yeah, everything's hurting. This is not good.
But you pushed through.
I pushed through, yeah. And so I got to Sisters Beach, and there were more friends and more family waiting at Sisters Beach, which was awesome. And then they
gathering.
Also, I know. And then they also came through to Boat Harbour to see me at the 25 when I geared up with the lights and the high views and everything.
Yeah.
And it was really just encouraging having so many familiar people there.
Oh, that's so nice.
It just kept me going. No, it's like, I can do this. There's people around supporting me. I can do this. And it helped the mental game a lot.
Was it very dark when you left Boat Harbour?
No. It was like 7:30-ish when I got there or was just leaving, I can't remember, and didn't get properly dark until about 8:30, I think.
Yep.
So yeah, had a nice amount of light and got to see the sunset and the golden hour kind of thing, which was really, really pretty.
And see the actual hills that you were about to go up?
Because
I
yeah,
didn't
some
see
of
the
them.
hills. I just
That was the interesting thing of running in the dark. Like, it was a double fold of time lost a bit of meaning. I almost forgot to fuel a couple of times because I was keeping an eye on my timing for my gel intake and that kind of thing. And yeah, I was just like, oh, I'm 5 minutes past when I should have taken something, because it just lost time completely, just lost all meaning. Those hills were just that little bit easier, I think, just because you couldn't see ahead.
No idea what was going on.
Especially I don't know if you, the really big hill that was at 88 kilometres, coming out to 88 kilometres, I believe it's called Heart Attack Hill. That's what somebody told me, and that's what I always refer to it as. And like, that just keeps going up and 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 up. And I knew it was there, but I couldn't see the top. So I was just like, I'm just going to have to keep plodding straight up.
Just go to the next little light thing, the next little light thing.
Next little light thing. It's complete props to Michael and all the team that are organising. It was so well signed.
It was good. There's maybe a couple of times where I stepped, you know, went through a gate or in a paddock, and I went, I don't quite know where to go from here.
I had
so I just
one
stepped out
little
a
minute.
little way and then could see something.
Yeah, I had one little minute right at the end. My sister's just trying to call me. Oh dear. It was at the top of the farmland before you dropped down into the river. To the river and the road. And yeah, I went about 10 meters. I was like, oh, I'm getting scratched by thistles. I think I've gone the wrong direction. I just couldn't see a reflector light. Pulled out the map, and I had to just turn like 45 degrees, and then I was, and I went that way, and then I found a reflector.
Yeah.
But that was my only real I'm off track moment, which was, especially in the dark, it's fantastic.
I really enjoyed the dark.
So well done.
Like, people keep asking, like, weren't you scared? I'm like, no, actually, because I was by myself for half of it, and then Simon joined me for the last half. But it was just it was peaceful. And then everywhere the light shined, it was either on a reflector thing or a possum or a cow or something. It was just kind of
the
peaceful.
Possums were giant. At least the ones I saw. I was just like, is that a cat or is that a possum?
Yeah,
like
that was a cat.
they
I saw
were
a horse
tanking.
One time too. Like the horse's eyes. And then I thought that was some other animal. And then I realized there was a much bigger body behind the eyes. It's like, oh, that's cool.
I had a bandicoot run alongside me for a couple of meters up at the lighthouse, which was quite cute. And I think I might have seen a water rat. It looked like a rat kind of thing, but it was prettier than a normal rat. It's very, very interesting. But yeah, I really enjoyed the dark. And
because it wasn't windy
even just
as
watching.
Well, that stillness in the dark and then the stars and stuff. Or did you
got a bit of wind.
Is that it
was
wind
windy when I was up on the lighthouse and right up on the cape, but before that, still as anything, and just watching all the stars come out was gorgeous.
Yeah,
I tried to take a few photos, stop and take a few photos, because like long exposure didn't quite work though.
All right, so you're up at the top at the lighthouse and you're trying to navigate down, and you got a little bit lost, but not very lost. And then you were a good Girl Scout and got your phone out and had a look at the
got
map.
My phone out, yeah, very handy. Really, really do love that map. Even
the map was
a couple
great.
Of points, I pulled it out and I was just like, what the heck is coming up? Let's have a look.
Yeah, I did that actually lots of times.
Yeah, just especially in the first, like the first half of it where I had no idea what the trail was. So it was just like, oh, let's just see if I can get a bit of an idea at least of any turns that I've got to do. But yeah, that map was quite handy. And then, yeah, got down the bottom to the Jolly River, which is the bane of my existence, for gone nuts.
It just goes on and on and on.
I
think
know.
You're home,
Great.
And I know
I'm
that
not
it's
the
just
only
on the
one
other side
that's
of the river,
angry at it.
but it just goes on. And
On
I'm like,
and on and on and on.
I'm
It
basically
was.
there. If
Yeah,
I'm not
exactly.
There.
It's just like, I want to turn left. Don't make me turn right every single time. It was slightly more tolerable in the dark, again, just because you couldn't see how slowly you were moving. You couldn't see the river, that kind of thing. Like you saw, I saw a few torches of other people on the other side of the river. So I was like, oh yeah, I know that the path there. But it was just a bit of just time and distance kind of lost meaning. And I was relying on my watch. I cheered in Sunday with a nice, at midnight with a nice apple cinnamon gel. Oh. Delicious.
I was thinking that it was going to be flat along the river. Because
I
have not
wasn't.
Done it before. And so I was like, more trail? It was a bit like the same. My daughter had said to me, because she did the 50 earlier in the day, she said, oh, you're right now from Boat Harbour, Mum. It's pretty much, because I was complaining, not kind of complaining, about the rocks in the half dark coming across. And I was like, and some of the trail there, I was like, oh my gosh, I had to go up and down. And anyway, she said, oh, you'll be fine. It's all paddocks between here and here and there. And then, but it was, so yes, paddocks. And then there was all that kind of stuff before the lighthouse. And then there was more trail near the river. And I was like, I love trail, but right now my knee is sore. And I said, is there much downhill when we get down to the river, Nick? And she said, oh, no, it's a little bit undulating.
Yeah, it's just tiny undulating, which even after doing 25 kilometres, it's just like, can we just be done with this? Just no more. I knew the river was coming up, and I had given myself, even before we started, I had given myself full permission just to be annoyed and angry at the river track. So I was walking, because I walked all of that. And so I was walking, but I ended up stomping. I was just marching, getting my anger out through my feet, which probably hasn't helped my ankle either. But yeah, I was just like, no, I don't like this track. I'm just going to march and get it done. So I kept a really good pace for the river track, because I was marching on.
You had a place to be.
Yeah. I was like, I'm getting this done. I'm not letting this stupid river track beat me. It's coming through. And then I ended up having Mum and Dad managed to stay awake, and they met me at the bridge, which is the turnaround point for the river, which was, so they had their little torches on. They saw me at the end, which was really nice.
That's so nice.
So a little bit of a boost to get me up, back up the river. Again, just marching on, being angry at that jolly river. But I was in a fair amount of pain from my shin by that point. Yeah. So it was any of the little downhills, it was so slow, and it was limping. And so by the time I got to, I wanted to finish running. And so I'd had thought in my head, I was like, oh, if I can get like the last K and a half, once I'm past the river track onto the last little bit, if I can get that running, that's great. And I got to that point, I was like, nah, we're marching on. Continue to march on, and then cross the line at just before 8 minutes past one in the morning,
and limping
along in pain. But I was like, I can see the finish line, and I was sobbing. It's from pain and relief and victory. Cross the line, and I just sobbed. it was massive.
So was there any time during, I mean, I'm sure there was, but maybe there wasn't, any time during the run where you felt that I'm not going to finish this?
I couldn't let myself think like that.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was, there was a couple of times was like, especially before the 25K and even coming up to the lighthouse, it was like, this leg is really hurting. What should I do with it? But it was, I'm so close. Even if I damage myself irreparably, I'm getting this done. I don't really want to do this again.
I don't want it to be a monkey on my back.
Yeah. So that was kind of what kept pushing me forward, was just like, no, I just want to get it done. I want to do it, and I want to finish what I started. So I didn't really let the thought of pulling out take root in my head, which is good and bad, considering I'm currently icing up my ankle with it elevated on the couch.
So tell us about your little injury that you're having to tend to.
Look, I'm actually going to go get some actual medical advice tomorrow. I think I've got a fair amount of swelling around the ankle and on the shin. So at the very least, there's some soft tissue damage potentially some ligaments or tendons or something. But yeah, we'll see what the doctors actually say.
Oh, it's tricky, isn't it? They'll be like, well, what do you expect? You were out there for, you know, what is it, 18, 19 hours or something, and you and you didn't stop when your body was telling you something.
Exactly. Yeah. It's just like, yeah, I know, guys.
We don't, like, our bodies are funny though, because they will try and tell us to stop even when they don't really need to. So it's hard to know whether sometimes what you're doing is something that, as you said before, it could be, you know, something that's, it won't be a permanent thing, but it could be something that results in, you know, annoying things happening in the future, you know.
Recovery. It's like,
you don't know. And especially if you've got a massive goal and it's, you know, to finish and cross the line, and you trained for, you know, months and months and months leading up to it, and all those people come out and support you as well. Yeah. And you've been on a podcast to talk about it.
Oh, that's
kind of hard, isn't it? It's like, even though some of that stuff was going through my brain when my knee was giving me lots of pain in the last half, it was like, well, I'm out here because this is what I decided I wanted to do, and I wanted to set myself a goal, and a little bit of knee pain, people get that all the time, I'm just going to finish it. I can still walk, you know. So I'm good, you know. And then you've got all those other things. Did you have, you know, the irrelevant of the injuries where you're just over it? Yeah, sometimes you're just over it, but you have to get through that. And that's some of the mind stuff that we get. It can happen in a 5K as well as 100K.
I had a few bits where I was just like, yeah, no, let's just, can we be done with this already? And there was a few spots, especially when I was walking, it just felt like I was walking so slowly, and the kilometers were like, even the 100 meters were barely ticking by, where I was just like, can we just be done with it? And yeah, just wanted to be at the end, even though I was not even three quarters of the way through, kind of thing. But yeah, I had a bit of like affirmation meditation kind of things going through my head of, I've trained for this, I've got people behind me, my body can do amazing things, kind of things, which I'd said plenty of times to myself throughout the day. And then when the pain got really bad, in the end, my brain was going, this hurts, but this is hard, but I can do hard things. And that's basically what I was saying when I was trying to breathe through the pain. It was like, yes, this hurts, and yes, this is hard, but I can do hard things. I can finish this.
That's what we say, like, in mindfulness, the acceptance. So it's not that, because the more you push away some things that are painful and hard or you don't want to do, the more you get of it. If that makes sense. So the more it would amplify the pain, it would amplify the uncomfortableness that you don't want. Whereas if you just accept, yes, it's there, but I can do hard things, then that's the perfect mindfulness kind of action to take to be able to overcome that. So well done, Bronte. Go you.
Thanks.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
So Tara, we've talked about, like, the uncomfortable, painful side, which we're all very proud that everybody who completed it, or actually everybody who entered it.
Everybody full stop, I think.
Irrelevant of whether they crossed the line or not, went through a considerable amount of pain and uncomfortableness. And I think that's amazing. And, you know, because they knew they were signing up for that. So
yes. At least I hope so.
Incredible. It's amazing we do these things. What about the event did you, apart from crossing the line, what about the event did you just love that you know you feel really called to tell us about?
Love all the volunteers, and like I said, the organization is impeccable of it, like, from the boat ride was amazing, to all the aid station, everybody at the aid stations were lovely, and the checkpoints were lovely, and just checking in and what can I do for you, what we've got, this and this, what do you want. There's a checkpoint, the Aftermore Banner checkpoint. There's two guys with a puppy dog, and so I got puppy dog pats that gave me a puppy power up that kept me going through, which I loved. And I got another one at Boat Harbour as well. There's a beautiful black lab with people spectating, and they got puppy power up there. not really part of the event, but still worth it.
It worked.
They are the biggest things, I think. As in, it's just such a beautifully organised event, with the exception of some of the course I don't like, but that's okay. We can't have everything in life. I I was really happy with, like, I over-prepared as far as all my snacks and everything for all the transition areas and everything. That's
I've thrown out a lot of Vegemite sandwiches.
Yeah, exactly. It's a little bit of waste of food, like, so many oranges and so much watermelon and sandwiches, but it's just like, well, I'll definitely, as wasteful as it is, I'd rather be throwing out food than not had enough of it for it. And I was very, very happy that I had put my spare shoes in my bucket for Erin to carry for me, because my first set of shoes ended up giving me some arch pain in just one foot. So I switched out pretty early on at the 25-kilometre mark for another pair, and then lasted 50 kilometres in those ones. And then I was just feeling very foot sore. So I was like, well, I'll just switch into my last ones. Just then they're all older ones, but they're ones that I'm comfy and I've run in before. So, and so had basically used three pairs of shoes, which I didn't really expect to do.
Three pairs of shoes and four pairs of socks.
Same.
Each time.
Those fresh pair of socks, it actually felt really good.
And Simon kept, every time we did the sock change thing, he would wash my foot because they were all like black. And I'm like, oh, you don't have to do that. I don't really care. They're just going to get dirty again. But it's like, oh, no, it's much better.
That would have been a really nice idea because, they were black from all the dust and everything. I had face wipes. I could have used face wipes. But, I had face wipes as well, which I pulled out to just wash the face freshen up, which is also a really nice thing. So definitely glad that they went anywhere in my bag and went planning for. As well as, like I said, the cheer squad that I had is just – couldn't have done without the people that were physically there, as well as people that were via the internet or messages just cheering me on. It's never, never underestimate your support crew behind you. It's, the biggest thing, I think.
I love that. That's awesome. All right. Well, the big question is, what are you going to do next?
You get this ankle better?
Okay. What are you going to do next? Exercise / running wise, what do you got?
I had thought I might try for a marathon this year.
Just a little marathon.
I've done a half marathon, half road marathon before, which was an experience. The Launceston Running Festival. But I'm not sure where. I'm not sure if it will be this year in the end. It will just depend how this ankle goes. I guess I don't want to. Yeah. Do permanent damage to myself. But that's on the bucket list. It has been on for a couple of years, but this came first.
So it's backwards, you know, aren't you? Like, you're supposed to do a marathon first and then go out and do an ultra marathon.
Well, look, I did the 25 kilometre before I did a half marathon. So trail running is different.
And that is true. It's a whole other category of running, isn't it? There's nowhere to hide in road marathons. And hide's not the right word, but you run all the time, basically.
Yeah.
Like, there's no sort of walking up a hill as a rule. That's what aid stations are for, actually. You walk through the aid station.
When I did the half marathon, I just found my hips got really sore, I guess, from the repetitive, just straight up and down running, because trail running, you're dodging around rocks, you're at least moving in slightly different ways, not the same routine, the same way I estimate I'd probably do about five hour marathon. We'll see.
What do you think this race has taught you about yourself? Completing Gone Nuts.
That I can do hard things. sort of knew that already, but I didn't realize how much I could just battle through things, especially pain. Very, very interesting. And even just the training, the 6 months of training that I've done, it's having to be persistent as well as consistent. You had to be persistent with yourself and going, even when you don't particularly want to get up and go for a run, like we've talked about, you still do it because you've got a bigger goal in mind. So, having that bigger goal and something to work for helps the mind frame, helps my mind frame so much more than I realized.
So do you think as a result, once your ankle's sorted, you will have to put another goal out there like that? You'll have to choose whatever that marathon is or that date so that you've got a goal so that it'll keep you motivated? Or will you just take some time off? And
I think I'll take some time off and recover. Mind you, that's like still do my usual park runs once I'm able to, just because it's a really cool community. But yeah, as far as the big goals, I'm quite happy not having a big running goal. I'll find another goal to have eventually.
Eventually. Yeah. So the question about, do you think you'll ever do Gone Nuts again? You kind of answered it earlier, but you know, you might already have changed your mind.
I don't think I'd do the 101 again. I don't think I'd even do the 75.
Okay.
I'd do probably 101 as a team. Yeah. I think that would make for a fun day. Mm. But yeah, I don't think I'd do it on my own. The 50 is a fun distance. The 50 and 25, they're actually really enjoyable. So I definitely wouldn't say no, I'm not ever doing Gone Nuts full stop. I definitely still would like to be. I've got my mother glaring at me through the doorway.
I'm not chasing you around till wee hours of the morning again.
No, we'll just keep it in a daytime, the manageable distance. But how soon that will be, we'll see.
There are other adventures around the world as well. Who knows?
There are, yes.
Is there anything about what you've experienced that you want to share before we wrap up this episode, Bronte?
I think, there's so much you could say. A lot of it, I feel like, would sound cliched, but it's like never say that you can't do something. You don't really know till you try. I think it's a big thing. And even just with running, there's so much more than time and like your time and pacing of everything. Yes, it's a cool goal and some people can really work towards it, but yeah, running is just so much, and races are, it's not really a race, it's an adventure run, as far as Gone Nuts. So it's, yeah, there's so, the world of running is so much bigger than I think what a lot of non-runners or yet to be runners realize.
Yeah. It's part of who we are as humans.
As
we say on the podcast a lot, if like all of our ancestors were runners, otherwise they wouldn't be here, because we wouldn't be here. It's in our DNA. The people before us ran, otherwise they couldn't catch food and they couldn't not be food. So the people that we are have come from in our DNA all ran.
We're
part of natural selection, that we're all capable of it. And you don't just run for, as you said, times and things like that. There's a much more, I can't think of the word, it's not base, but there's a much more even primal maybe thing about running and humans. It's kind of just connected to what we are and who we are.
Yeah, just the natural instinct of us is we're one of the few species on the planet that can run to that degree, because cheetahs and stuff, they've got like 20 minutes of sprinting in them and that's it. Whereas humans can just go and go and go and go and go. Crazy.
I know, we did that on the weekend. We went and went and went, and we went a bit nutty, but we went.
So nutty.
That was crazy.
Actually, I believe I classify as a total nutter now.
Oh, I totally.
I have done the 50 and I have done the 25. I'll have to check with Michael in on that one.
Oh. So you don't have to go back and do the 75 because you've done the 100 and three.
I don't
you've
think
actually been on the 75 course.
Don't think the 70 counts as far as needing to get the total nutter
category
token. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I know my uncle wanted a certificate to say that I was a total nutter, so he could say, yes, it's certified that she is crazy.
I can see a Christmas present coming up for you.
Yeah, we'll plot something out. Actually, his birthday's coming up.
So funny. All right. Bronte, it has been a delight to get to know you. I'm sorry that we missed each other on the start line. I did go searching in the dark for you all, at
It
least
was
down
so
Kelly.
hard. I stood like in a light. I was just like, can I recognize any faces from any photos of people?
Crazy.
Could not recognize anybody.
It's so
Even
funny.
on the course, I was like listening to people's voices. If people were coming up overtaking me, I was just like, oh, do I recognize that voice from the podcast?
I should have stolen the mic from Mike
You should
from
have.
Michael for a couple of minutes and called you all up to take a photo.
Yeah.
But anyway, it doesn't matter. We
That's
will meet again at some point. I did meet your parents, so
yes, that was
that
really I think they really enjoy that.
was awesome. I caught my husband, I think, in a hammock waiting for me.
Yes, I did hear that story.
It was relaxing in a hammock. Anyway, it has been a delight to share this journey with you. Thank you so much for being so generous to share it with us. It has
Thank you for
been,
hosting, Michelle. It's been so good.
I know, it's been really good, isn't it? I'm sad it's
Yeah.
finished. We need to do another 100. Oh, no, we don't. It's okay. We just need
No.
to recover first.
Yes,
Anyway,
please.
thank you and best of luck with whatever you choose to do next in your crazy thing we call life.
Thank you very
I'm sure you'll
much.
smash it because you can do hard things.
I can do hard things.
Then you're a total
Yeah, I
mother.
can. Yep.
Thanks, Bronte.
Thanks so much, Michelle.
Thank you for joining us on this incredible journey with our Gone Nuts athletes. We've witnessed their dedication, shared in their challenges, and celebrated their achievements. As we wrap up this series, we extend our heartfelt thanks to both the runners for their inspiring efforts and to you, our listeners, for your enthusiastic support. Keep running, keep striving, and remember every step you take is a part of your own unique story. Until next time, keep chasing your adventures.